Let's go to the Book of Psalm. You know, Sunday morning fellowship is really just a time to get together, read the Bible, and pray together, enjoy one another's company. It's not really a big, heavy doctrinal time, and it's not like a class or anything like that. And I think there's a time for everything. You know, there's a time where you pray forever. There's a time where you just teach scripture, and there's also a time where you just share what's in the scripture, and it's not necessarily, like I said, a big, heavy doctrinal teaching. And that's what I was kind of thinking of today, because I was thinking as I was dealing with the people this week that I had been dealing with, how much difference they have in their attitude towards God, how different that really is. Some of them don't know him at all. They care less. Some of them love him with all their heart. And your attitude towards God and his word determines everything. It really does. And this 78th Psalm is a great example . It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your heart to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, nor show them to the generation to come. The praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known unto their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." This is really what this was supposed to be. He gave us his word. He did great deliverance for his people. And then you got a job. You share them with your kids and they share them with theirs. And you keep that going on. And that's the only thing that keeps this moving from one generation to the next. You drop the ball on that, no more. You know, and my folks didn't teach me the scripture. They sent me to church, but they didn't teach. I didn't know what. I never owned a Bible and never read anything in it until much later on in life. And it was when I saw the greatness of the blessings that what was in Scripture, and I learned about God. Remember what he said in the manifestations, "Learn about me"? You know, he's given us this word. This is our instruction. You know, you learn about him, you have a personal relationship with him. And I'll tell you what, life is way different before and after. Way different. You know, the thing that what people do is they limit God. That's really, I guess, if don't limit God would be the title of this teaching. You know what I mean? Don't limit him. Because you really can. So from one generation to the next, this was the job. This is what they needed to do. Verse 7. "That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That's really, if you look at the history of mankind, that's, you know, you're dealing with one another, stubborn, stiff-necked people. Have one. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They were cowards. They turned back because they didn't trust the Lord and they didn't believe him. They kept not the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders, and he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in their sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoran. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand up on a heap in the daytime. He also led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also of the rocks and caused waters to run down like rivers. They sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Hey, can he do that? Well, let's just consider this, all right? You know, now I'm not, everybody in my church is a sinner, right? We all fall short. But I just want to point out something here. These guys came out of Egypt. They saw the great deliverance. They're out there a while. I mean, a while. Months. God has been feeding them every day, dropping manna. Manna means, what is it? That's what the word manna means. What is it? He's given them everything that they need. Their daily. He's got a cloud over them every day, keep them in the shade. He's got the light of a fire by night, pillar of fire. He's dealt with all of their enemies. They've been out there eating God's food and drinking the water he provides, and they ask, can God do this? Now, how dumb can you be? It's unbelievable to me. How really stubborn, stupid, and dumb can you forget from 1 month to the next? The answer is yes, you can. That's how dumb, how stiff-necked, how stubborn we can be. See great deliverance 1 month ago and forget. And question it all 30 days later. That's why you got to keep this in front of your face. You have to read. You have to put it on. You have to remind yourself. Because that is the nature of men. I've seen great, wonderful miracles. I have forgotten some of them. Actually, I think I've forgotten a lot of them. I'm getting old. But I've seen marvelous, wonderful things. And it's well within the capability of each and every one of you. I don't care how long you've been around. Unless you keep putting this on, you will forget. Because our nature is to be just like these guys. That's what comes natural. So Almighty God did all of this stuff. Where'd I leave off? Verse 20?
No.
Excuse me? 20. Behold, he smote the rocks, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. He gave bread also, and he provided flesh for his people. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he commanded the clouds from above, and he opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna upon them to eat, he given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. It's not angels' food cake, it's angels' food. Okay? Look at that. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. And he caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind, and he rained flesh upon them. Remember that when he, quail? They're saying, you know, we're getting tired of eating this manna. We'd like something different. So he sent them quail and dropped them in the camp. And he rained flesh upon them as dust, the feathered flow like the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat, and they were filled. For they gave them their own desire. And they were not estranged from their lust. They continued in their own lust, their own desire, their own, you know. You ever notice that... if somebody gives you something, you take less care of it than if you went out and worked for it and labored for it. You know, if somebody gives you a car, right? Remember my father, he wouldn't give me a car. He sold me his. But I've watched this time and time again, and the principle is true. Whatever you don't work for, you don't appreciate. You got no skin in the game. And it's reckless. When you work for something, like that car I got from my father, I had to go out and get that job. I earned it. I took care of that thing. I washed it. I filled the tires with air. I, you know, made sure I parked it. You know, I didn't slam the gears. I just nicely moved them. It's a huge difference. And you've all lived long enough to know that is absolutely the truth. God has provided for us so much. I think we take it for granted. You know, these two little sacks you got in your eye sockets? It's just a lot of fluid and flesh, right? And yet you can see in 3D. Color. And nobody even thinks about praising God for what he has given them. You follow my... The things that, and I'm really speaking this way. You know, I talked to a kid the other day. What did God do for me? God, you moron, you're alive. That's what I said to him. I mean, you know, people don't. They don't see what's in front of them, because they just don't deeply consider, where'd this come from? You know, it says in Isaiah 45, I think it is. I hope I can find it quickly. Well, it's in this chapter. You can find it for yourself a little later on. But it says that he made the universe. He measured it out with the span of his hand. So, according to Scripture, the universe fits between God's thumb and little finger. See, God is not small. He didn't live inside his science project, the thing that he made. He's bigger than it. The universe, according to Scripture, is a bubble in the midst of the waters. Scripture teaches you a whole lot. Whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. But my point is, most people who even read the Scripture, God is very small to them compared to what the Scripture says about him. They limit God because they don't read what's written. They don't consider deeply what he says. They limit him because they forget. These folks forgot. And it says, let's jump over here. You can read the rest of this. This is a great psalm. But let's jump over here to verse 37. It says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they satisfied in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquities and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned away his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they are but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, if you look at that record of those guys coming out of Egypt, it's a terrific, really a tremendous outline of God, what he does, and what mankind does. It's a great lesson. But they limited him. Go to Matthew. So what did he ask people to do? Remember what he did. Teach their kids the word, so that they would honor and fear the Lord from generation to generation. I mean, this wasn't like, you know, real hard. And yet folks don't do it. Well, they let somebody else do it. They're people like me. That's kind of dumb. You know? Joshua's been sitting here in this fellowship on just about every Sunday since I can remember, since he was in a basket. But the truth of the matter is, that's not very many days. If you add them all up, the hour that we spend together, the word that's taught, how old are you now? 20. Okay, so you got 52 weeks a year. Let's say you showed up every 52 times 20. How much is that? You're in college. Don't ask me. 52 times 20. 1,200. Okay, 1,200. Let's do 1,300 hours. All right. Enough already, all right? Enough. So let's just put that. That's that many days, and then what, an hour? So 1,000 hours of instruction over 20 years? That's not very much. If you did that with any other job, how far do you think you would go? 1,000 hours of instruction. It's 24 hours in a day. I don't know. I'm not that good with the math, but you figure it out. Take 2,000 hours worth of instruction. Does that qualify you to be an electrician? An iron worker? A welder? Nah. I mean, how about a brain surgeon? You want to just do that one? You know, it's like you stayed in the Holiday Inn. You know, that commercial? I can do brain surgery. I stayed in the Holiday Inn. I would think that it takes quite a bit more. And yet we're talking about since the day he was in a basket and he wasn't listening real well for the first half of those instruction periods. Yeah, he was a kid. You don't do it at home, it don't get done. It just don't get done. And you... Same thing with anything else you want someone to learn. You want to pass down something from your family, from generation. You want to pass down and things that are wonderful, things that are important to you and your family. You're the one that has to do it. Jesus, I got off my point here, but let's go to Matthew. Was Jesus Christ, let's see, Matthew 13. Do you think Jesus was quite an incredible man? Did signs, miracles, and wonders, right? Powerful, healed the sick, raised the dead. Cast out demons, set people way back on their heels as far as his wisdom and understanding, silenced his critics. He calmed the sea, walked on the water. Yet, you know what happens when you're dealing with the public? So, look at it here. This is what I was saying about limiting God. I'm really serious. You determine how much God works in your life. And Matthew 13, starting in verse 53, this is after he is taught. Says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed hence. And when he had come unto his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works, because of what? Their unbelief. Is Jesus a different guy? He goes to one town, signs, miracles, and wonders, bang-a-bang-a-boom. He goes back home, Hey, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't that Lady Mary his mother? I mean, you know, he's illegitimate. She was pregnant before they were married. They were offended at Jesus. What kind of guy is... How can he have this kind of wisdom? I mean, we know the family. Come on. And because of their attitude, same scripture he taught, same love in his heart, same power. And yet, they receive... He didn't do much there because of their unbelief. And that's it. You choose. You choose as an individual, whether it's back here or up here. People are the same. There's nothing new under the sun. The only way you take your... plug in. Let's use that as an analogy. Bad analogy. You plug into God's power in your life. It's what you do between your head. It's how much you believe what he says. Is God really small to you? I talked to a person who's got, you know, I don't ask God for the little things. I don't want to bother him. God's very small to that person. He's too busy. The scripture says that he knows when every sparrow falls, that he can count the numbers of hair on your head. That number changes for me every day. Now, who do you want to believe? The person with the small attitude towards God and what they think. And they're nice people. I mean, they're not bad people. They just believe error. Or do you want to take God at his word and believe what he says? This is the choice you have to choose, you have to make. And you have to remind yourself of it often. My wife, she's online, by the way, requires me to tell her that I love her. And I've never done it too much. And I've been with her for 44 years. Do you think she'd get the message? Do you see what I'm talking about? She requires it. It's due her. But it's not something that, okay, hey, I married you 44 years ago. I took care of you. Why do I got to tell you I love you? Of course, because she needs to be reminded, wants to be reminded, needs to keep it in front. We have these kinds of needs in our life. We need to do the same thing with God. He's not just out there to deliver you from the, like a fire escape from hell when you get yourself in a jam. But that's when they come back. You read that, go back and read that 78th Psalm. It says they flattered him. They turned to the Lord. They flattered him with their lips, but they didn't really mean it in their heart. They got in trouble. Oh, God, we love you. We're sorry. We're coming back. And they flattered him with their lips. Well, there's one being in the universe you can't con, and that's Almighty God. You can con me, you can con a lot of people, but you can't con him. He knows what's in the heart. You, by your, and this is like, you know, you determine the power of God in your life. You determine the relationship you have with him. You determine whether you limit him or you don't limit him. And it's all up to you. His arm is not short. He can deliver. He can deliver to the uttermost. It says, you see the little plaque I got upstairs. My wife puts on the wall. With God, nothing is impossible with him. And yet most people, they have no relationship with him. They don't know him as a father. So that's what I'm throwing out to you this morning. You think about, what do you think? What do you believe? What is your attitude? You can change it. You can change it. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Don't limit God.